Welcome to the MS Dev Show, episode number 151. This week, we talk with Joseph Hill, one of the original Xamarin co-founders, about Visual Studio for the Mac and how you can do live UX design.
This episode of the MS Dev Show is brought to you by Espose, the market leader of .NET and Java APIs for file business formats. Natively work with DocX, XSLX, PPT, PDF, MSG, MPP, image formats, and many more.
Right now we have Joseph Hill. He runs the PM for Xamarin and Visual Studio for Mac. So welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess where we should start is like, let's hear your background for people who don't know who you are.
Yeah, sure. So, I was a co-founder of Xamarin along with Nat and Miguel. A lot of work behind the scenes because there in a startup, you wear a lot of hats. And when we started the company, Nat and I were the two useless people, the only two people that weren't product engineers. So we had to do a lot over my time at Xamarin. I ran support. I built out our partner program, did sales for a while, and near the end there, I ran our evangelism team. So if you've seen any of the Xamarin speakers talking.
Yeah, we were before the show, we were talking about James Montemagno, and he reports to him.
Yeah, yeah. So James is a gem.
Awesome.
Yeah. Probably everybody in your audience, I hope, knows.
Yeah, we've had him on the show, and I'm sure we'll have him on again.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Absolutely.
So going from there, I mean, as you're mm-hmm. probably aware, Microsoft purchased Xamarin a year ago, and that's worked
Welcome
out.
Welcome to the team.
Thank you. Well, it's worked out great. I mean, sometimes acquisitions, people never know how people are going to feel. What are the customers going to think? And what is the team going to do? But, we had lots of heroes at Microsoft already, so the team's been pretty excited. I think the integration's gone pretty smoothly. And the customers were all excited. Everybody felt like,
yeah,
what took
definitely
so long?
From the customer perspective, everybody's super happy.
Yeah, yeah. So one of the things that came out of that is, Xamarin's products were aimed at letting developers write C# for iOS and Android. And a lot of our customers were obviously doing that in Visual Studio, but we have a strong development environment on the Mac as well. And we had an IDE, that sprung up through the open source efforts over the years called Xamarin Studio. And when we arrived, we were like, well, this is, this looks a lot like Visual Studio. How could we make it be like real Visual Studio? And so a big part of the effort since we joined Microsoft was helping Xamarin Studio grow up into Visual Studio for Mac.
Yeah.
So as part of that, you've brought on ASP.NET core support and doing that. And I think that's really huge, getting those additional project types that grow it out of your mobile roots and into the things that are available on these other platforms for Mac and Linux.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, at Xamarin, our focus was mobile, and we have a lot of rich IDE experiences around mobile, but we just weren't going to make the investment on the server
side.
Didn't
make sense at the time.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that you see in the Visual Studio for Mac launch is that support for ASP.NET, and it starts with bringing in .NET Core. And giving you the ability to do like great web API backends for mobile, because that's a natural extension. But beyond that, when people are like, oh, well, is this Visual Studio for Mac? Is it just a rebranding? And it's just that you're starting to have new workloads, but it's actually much more than that, because we've been working with the Visual Studio team to bring in code from Visual Studio. So we have an enriched, web editing experience, C#. The C# editor comes from Visual Studio now, so we landed C# 7 support with this. So that collaboration and bringing features and code over is what makes it much more of a real Visual Studio.
That's really interesting, because I think like you started off with, a lot of people do just think, hey, they just rethemed it, changed all the strings in there,
absolutely,
just from Xamarin to Visual Studio, and that's it. But if you're bringing a lot of code, that means those experiences are going to be identical. So when you're making like ASP.NET views and you're using Razor, you're getting the code to display that, the IntelliSense and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
from the exact same code that's running for Visual Studio on Windows.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, so what's interesting is, what we landed very firmly in our GA, which was on Wednesday this week, the HTML editing, the CSS editing, the JSON editing. I just want to be clear, because Razor's not there yet. A little bit more, but it's coming. But that's it's, like top of the list. So you know, good to set proper expectations. So on the so what's nice? I mean, like, a good way to think about that is, like, yes, we're making it a better web editor, and especially Razor's like top of the list. So so we'll land that. But like it, like I mentioned, if you're doing mobile, and a lot of people are, you have a mobile front end, you have a back end. Obviously, you want to do that in C#, and that's going to be .NET Core. So having Visual Studio's, you know, full, you know, better integration with Roslyn. I mean, they'd already open source Roslyn, so we were using that. But combined with, like, I think really the icing on the cake and the demo that's, you know, that's really, you know, strong for people that are doing mobile front end, .NET Core back end, is multi-process debugging. So, you know, you're writing a client application, and you edit some code on the client, and something goes wrong. Like, Visual Studio has had the best experience bar none, because you can follow that data from, you know, from your desktop app or your you know, whatever Windows app you have, up into your ASP.NET, and make sure that it's, you know, survived the trip across the wire, and that it did what, you know, it was supposed to once it got there. That experience you can't really get that anywhere other than Visual Studio.
Yeah.
And that was something we were able to feature very prominently in the Visual Studio for Mac release. So, you know, if you're doing client server, that's spot on. And if you're doing web development, modulo Razor, that's pretty good.
So obviously the next step after that, you know, like, you know, we have our web stuff, our API for our mobile stuff. Mm-hmm. We want to get that to the cloud. And now you have a great story to tell around that.
Yeah,
as well.
Absolutely. So in the GA, and we even, you know, there's preview stuff to talk about as well, but in the GA, yeah, we have the ability to, publish to Azure, you know, directly from inside your, you know, in the Solution Explorer. You go to your .NET Core project, say publish, and we make it, you know, super seamless to get that running in Azure, you know, deployed. And then, like I mentioned, preview. One of the things we released in our alpha previews that went out this week is the ability to also do Azure function development and debug Azure functions from within Visual Studio for Mac. So
that's pretty handy. That gives you some of those loose microservice capabilities,
which is, again, it's, you know, really, it's very nice when you're doing mobile, because sometimes you just need to do a little bit in the cloud, and you really don't want to be gardening and nurturing a web server.
Yeah, you don't want to do file new project and have 50 files there, and like,
I love functions.
I'm not going to spin up a VM.
I love functions. So the code for the Azure function debugging, then, like, is that like the same code then as in regular, you know, Visual Studio for Windows? I shouldn't call it regular Visual Studio. Mm-hmm. Visual Studio for Windows. Is that like shared code, or what does that look like?
Yeah, that is a good question. So I didn't do that work directly, and I can't say for sure how much of it is shared directly with them. We do work directly with the with Azure Functions team. But I mean, I think it's a good setup question in general, because we are finding that we're working in that capacity with the Visual Studio team.
Yeah.
So, you know, some features are actually developed in tandem. A really good example is our Docker support. So we also, in our previews this week, we introduced Docker support. Same thing. If you saw the keynote, when they demonstrated from Visual Studio, you can add a Docker file to your project. You can deploy it. You can debug multiple containers.
That's huge.
Yeah. So all of that, and that's courtesy of the guys that did the Visual Studio work for Docker. They just said, well, we have Visual Studio for Mac. That's going to be important there. We'll just do both at the same time. So being able to collaborate with the Visual Studio team so that, like, as we develop new features, if they're important to, you know, to the key workloads of Visual Studio for Mac, we should be able to land them together. Which is a good, if I can just make a quick point, because that's the, when people ask about, oh, is it full Visual Studio? Doesn't aim to be full Visual Studio.
It doesn't make sense either. I mean, if I want to write, like, let's just say a UWP only app or a WinForms app, it doesn't make sense to be on a Mac because it doesn't have that platform underneath to support it.
Yep.
So in my mind, you know, Visual Studio for Mac should have everything that Visual Studio for Windows that has, that makes sense for the Mac and Linux platforms.
Right. So so we like to call Visual Studio for Mac a mobile first, cloud first IDE.
Mm-hmm.
So the so we had the mobile story. We're bringing in the cloud features. What we think of as modern app development. You're doing web apps and web services, Azure Functions, MA, that kind of stuff. That makes sense. People are going to do that on a Mac. We have a particular focus on collaboration. So we know we have lots of developers in heterogeneous teams. They're using Visual Studio, and there are people on the team that have a Mac. So how do we enable those teams to collaborate? Well, we support the Visual Studio solution and project format. So you have solutions, the kinds of stuff that these teams are working on right now. Those projects are supported across the team. You can collaborate and pull the same solution project files down on either side, and that stuff works like you should expect.
Yeah, I think this is why people are glad that Xamarin was acquired, right?
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of thinking from a big picture how this whole thing went down. So Xamarin, there were some scenarios specifically around iOS and Android that Xamarin Studio was great at, and then Microsoft acquired Xamarin, and when that happened. Sometimes acquisitions are treated like completely separate, but this is great because it's like these things are slowly merging together. And it seems like the theme going forward then, more and more shared code and not just like trying to copy Visual Studio wholesale and make the exact same thing over. Because like you pointed out earlier, Carl, the bringing everything over doesn't just make sense. So now it's a matter of what things actually make sense to bring over.
What are the traits of Visual Studio that developers actively care about? And I'm sure that if you're a Windows developer, but you've decided you'd like to get a Mac and you want to do your Windows development on a Mac.
Yeah.
And it sounds kind of neat.
Yeah.
But you're putting yourself through a lot of unnecessary pain, and it's just not a common scenario.
Yeah.
So, some people are going to want that. Everybody's going to have a pet feature.
Yeah, the grass isn't always that much greener on the other side.
But there are a lot of people that, they just do web development, and maybe in the past, their company had been you do that on Visual Studio, so therefore you need a Windows machine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they would much rather, they have a Mac at home and stuff like that. And now that they can actually have their work, give them the environment that they're more comfortable in
and that's
more
be,
productive in.
And that's going to be true for a lot of the workloads we support, which is iOS, Android, Mac development in particular. Mm-hmm. It's sort of the same. The Mac development support in Visual Studio for Mac is kind of similar, why we do that.
Have a Mac.
Yeah. So if you're on a Mac, you can do full client development, full desktop apps for the Mac in .NET in C#, and you're going to have a great experience. And we support the Mac projects in Visual Studio, the Xamarin Mac projects already. And people use that, and especially if you're collaborating and you have solutions that have those projects in there, you want that support in Visual Studio as well. But you're probably actively developing the thing on the Mac, so that makes sense.
Although this is something that just popped in my head, and I know that this is very early, but with the announcements for XAML standard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we actually could in the future. Obviously, it's going to take a little bit for this to happen, but you actually might be able to start making a XAML standard app that would run a client on Windows.
Absolutely.
From the Mac.
So
that actually makes it really exciting times.
Yeah, so we'll monitor what the interest is on what, there's lots of things people want to do. So, where if that lands in particular, the idea of, how much Windows development do you want to support on the Mac?
Mm-hmm.
That being said, what you said about XAML standard and the way that we're working with that, with our Xamarin Forms cross-platform solution and growing that standard together, Xamarin Forms has a backend for Mac and a backend for UWP. We've announced that we have in open source, you can see it being developed, a WPF backend, a GDK backend, so you can, XAML can take you to all of these platforms. I guess there's some truth in that, but
it's a little bit more projection at this point, but it's really exciting to see these possibilities
with
the announcements
that
weren't on your team, but really affect your products.
Yeah. So actually we work very closely with the Windows group on the XAML standard.
Yeah.
And so where it is right now, that comes from a lot of us collaborating. We have, I think I can't speak for the Windows team, but I think their objective is to make, to make the XAML experience great for first class on Windows, UWP, WPF, and to make those their existing developers happy. We have the same thing with Xamarin Forms, where we have a different XAML. So how can we grow the two together without slowing down the progress that those developers on those platforms are making. So that's a great collaboration that probably would not have happened if we were,
companies. These are exciting times for sure.
So one thing I wanted to touch on just a moment ago that we kind of almost went in this direction was around what makes Visual Studio Visual Studio, right? So it's not necessarily absolutely everything you can do in Visual Studio, but the things that people expect, like solution and project support, first class support for C#, at a deeper level, things like multi-process debugging, where you're like, yeah, those were the powerful features that made made people fall in love with Visual Studio. And let's make sure that those are the things that are available in Visual Studio for Mac.
Yeah. Very cool. And then before the show, you had mentioned some IoT features as well.
Right. Yeah. So so as I mentioned, we have previews available today with the Azure Function support and the Docker support. And, which I touched on both of those. And then, the other big feature that people are excited about, especially our mobile developers, is that we now support IoT projects in Visual Studio for Mac, as well as Visual Studio. So that's a feature that we were working on that we developed in tandem for both, for both platforms, because we were talking to mobile developers that are like, well, I like Xamarin, I like C#, but my mobile project has an IoT story. And in the mobile space, the lines of IoT get blurred because some people just want to use their mobile device as another IoT device. Like, this is a sensor. Right. It has.
Oh, I gotcha. Because I was going to ask you, like, what do you mean by IoT in this?
Right.
This region
so,
too?
Yeah. So on mobile, like I said, it means both things. People do things like speak
it's
to
IoT.
You speak to it's a device. And yeah, that's right. But it's a device. And maybe you just want to, talk to IoT Hub and make decisions based off of data that you have in Azure. Mm-hmm. So the IoT side of it is controlling your IoT. And a lot of people do that. And then the flip side is, I have sensors and I also have sensors on the phone. They're collecting the same kind of data. I'm writing the same kind of code, and I want to share that code from the devices that I'm building and the mobile devices that I have, in the field or that my customers have, whatever their scenario is. So we were hearing increasingly that people want to make sure that they had the IoT side of the story covered with C# and the ability to share the code to those devices. So we have some, we've got some good demos online. We'll get a video posted because we didn't get to it in our presentation. about those kinds of scenarios and the things that you can do, particularly with Azure and Cognitive Services and IoT Hub.
Aspose offers a powerful set of file management APIs with which developers can create applications, which can create, open, edit, and save the majority of popular business file formats. Their product range supports a multitude of file formats, including Word documents, Excel spreadsheets, PowerPoint presentations, PDF documents, OneNote, Outlook, Project, Visio files, popular image formats, and many others. Aspose produces APIs for .NET, Java, and the cloud, which can be utilized in almost any modern language available today. Visit www.aspose.com for a free 30-day no-limitations trial. And if you get stuck, message the friendly support team for help. All technical support is offered free of charge. Remember, if you're a lucky winner, you will receive a free developer small business license for Aspose.words for .NET, a powerful toolkit to work with Word documents in your applications.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to deep dive into the Azure integration.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what capabilities are there. When I'm on the PC, I can like view all my Azure resources. I can do like a deploy straight from, straight to like a an app service, straight to, web and worker roles, like that type of thing. So like, where was the focus there on Visual Studio for Mac?
Yeah, right. So, we were going from having absolutely no story to, to what's important to the developers that we have today. And so with the workloads that we focused on, it was definitely publish to Azure and also make it easy to integrate services into the projects that you're already building. So we do have this idea. We've demoed, in the first preview of Visual Studio for Mac, which is connected services, which really makes it easy to get the SDKs for various Azure services, like Azure App Service, into your application, and get those configured from directly in the IDE. But there's a world of Azure integration that that needs to get there. That we're working on.
Well, I think I think the most common is just if I build a website or something like that, I mean, or an Azure function, like I just want to push that up to Azure.
Yes, exactly.
Anything more sophisticated than, honestly, like the tooling, I usually don't use the tooling anyway. So yeah. I think just by writing that little piece, I think you've actually gotten 80% of where you need to be.
It's definitely from zero to that.
Yeah.
It's very useful.
Exactly.
It was the obvious thing to do.
Yeah. So we've talked, you know, a bunch about like a lot of new capabilities that like, you know, Xamarin Studio never had, but Xamarin has always been like really awesome at mobile development. And you had an announcement that made it even better with what I believe it's called Xamarin Live Player.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about what that is and
absolutely.
The Mac support for that?
Yeah, it's so the Xamarin Live Player, and that came, you know, that hit in the Windows keynote. So I think, you know, people that saw the day two keynote will have a pretty good sense of what it enables with Visual Studio speaking directly to an iOS app. So
that's without having like a Mac in the middle.
Correct. Yeah. So let me tell you a little bit about kind of what it does and what our objectives were there. So the first thing, this is the Visual Studio for Mac podcast we're doing here. So the first thing to make clear is that we landed that feature in both IDEs at the same time. So, Xamarin Live support is in Visual Studio for Mac. And we also shipped players for iOS and Android. And the problem, there are really two core sets of problems that we wanted to solve by having the player. First off, there's a lot of overhead involved in getting started with mobile development. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to make it as easy as possible for people that are using Visual Studio to get started. So, or to opt in, right? I mean, if you install a full mobile development environment now, you're looking at, you know, gigabytes and gigabytes of Java, Android SDKs.
Emulators.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So if you're installing Visual Studio and your primary focus is ASP.NET, and you think maybe you want to do mobile, are you going to check the Xamarin checkbox or not?
I don't.
Right.
So we want to make like sure 20, 30 that you can. Gigs.
Yeah.
Right. So, so you're right. It's 30 gigs. So we, if you do a minimal Xamarin installation now and you don't install all of that, you just want the SDKs, you can have a full Visual Studio with no other workloads, 5 gigs. Mm-hmm. So if you're already installing Visual Studio, I mean, the incremental cost of putting the Xamarin SDKs, in your machine when you're setting up the rest of your environment, hopefully that'll be a lot more tempting for you. Right. The configuration of a Mac is that's an impediment to figuring out if that's even a thing that you want to do. So if you're thinking, well, I would like to do mobile development, but I have to have a Mac and I'm not sure I'm ready to make that commitment right now. I would like to see what it's like. What do the C# APIs look like? Am I going to be capable of building the solution that I want to build with Xamarin? Let me find out how far I can get. And the Live Player enables that. But the objective is not really to eliminate the Mac, right? And again, we put it on Android as well. The focus is to let you get a taste of it. The Live Player is an app that has the full Xamarin SDK on it, and Visual Studio can speak to it, and it can push your code over to the device to execute it. So you can actually have a full solution, for iOS or Android, or you can use our Xamarin Forms libraries to do, you know, full cross-platform single solution for iOS and Android, and you can push that over to, you know, either device, see it running, and it's fast. So the second thing we want to do is like building a mobile app actually for anybody, you know, regardless of the frame, you know, the framework you're using, you know, when you're doing when you have to include compilation and pushing everything over, that makes the debug loop slower. So the other thing the Live Player is doing, why we call it live, is that it really tightens up that inner dev loop. So you hit F5 and the code, you know, if you saw the keynote, it's over, it's like on the device instantaneously.
Yeah.
But it's also full debugging, right? So you run your app, you can set breakpoints.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so we wanted to make sure that the debugging experience would be late. So you can set your watches, you can
I thought you had some funny business going on, to be honest. So have you seen the continuous app from Frank Krieger?
So we worked very closely with Frank on this, right?
Yeah.
So it was at this entire the entire thing was inspired by seeing what Frank was able to accomplish.
Yeah.
And we reached out to Frank, and he helped make this happen.
That's awesome. Because I saw that. I actually borrowed an iPad to run it on there, and I actually had to build a UI in Xamarin.
Yeah.
And I actually had an external keyboard on my iPad. And I'm sitting there typing, and I'm getting the UI updates, and I'm like, this is a game changer.
It is an amazing app. Yeah, but absolutely. So that's another great way to get started. And I highly recommend your audience, if especially if you have an iPad, you can do it on your phone. If you want to write iPhone apps on your phone, you can do it with Continuous. that was a good call out there.
Yeah.
So that's half of the live story, but the other half, and part of what makes it live is, in a thing Frank calls Continuous, is this idea that you should be able to make changes and see those changes live. So the other thing you would have seen in Terry's demo is that you were able to make changes to your code, and as soon as you pause for a moment, if the code is parsable and it's still a complete app, it's going to ship it over and refresh it.
Yeah. And immediately it was showing in the live player.
Exactly. So you can focus on a single view. Like if you have one screen you're working on, you can say just live run this view. So if you're working in some XAML, that's particularly useful, right? You're making changes to your XAML, see it reflected immediately. You can also, if you think about your debug menu today, you've got debug and run without debugging. You can run without debugging. That's super fast. So if you're making changes to not necessarily your UI, but you want to see those reflected, in Visual Studio, Control Shift F5, right? Run without debugging. It's like a refresh button. Make some changes, Control Shift F5, and see the whole app just rerun quickly.
Yeah. So there's I just want to kind of cover the basics here.
Mm-hmm.
So I assume that there's an app like in the app store that I go and get as like the
right. So what you want, so what your audience wants to do is go to xamarin.com/live.
Okay.
And we have the apps.
I'll do it right now.
we have the apps linked from that page, as well as the preview extensions for Visual Studio and Visual Studio for Mac. You go there, find the instructions, and you can be up and running. In minutes. I mean, minutes.
There's a QR code too. Like, I totally forgot about that.
The focus is on making it as easy as possible to get configured. So what happens here, and it's good you mentioned the QR code, right? The phone has to speak to the IDE. And to make it simple, we just show a QR code, and the QR code tells the phone how to find Visual Studio. We give you a little short code that you can enter if you don't have access to the camera, or like my favorite Android device is really a game machine. It doesn't have a camera on it. Mm-hmm. So you can just key in the code. And all that's used for is we have a rendezvous server up in the cloud. It tells the two devices how to find each other. And then they just speak directly to each other. So it's not like it's pushing a source through the, through the server.
Right. And then I just kind of from the basics perspective. So I can use Visual Studio for Windows or Visual Studio for Mac, and I can use Windows or Android on either one. Like all those combinations work.
Right. iOS and Android. Right. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. iOS and Android for the mobile platforms.
Yeah. It's pretty intuitive. So like I said, if you have an iOS project, it's going to let you push it to an iOS, Xamarin iOS project's going to let you push it to the iOS player. If you have a Forms project, you just, say run my app and it will do the right thing. If it's pushing to an iOS, paired an iOS device, it'll run. Android, it'll run.
And it supports navigation, like I can actually use the whole app then?
Right, yeah. I mean, the whole app is running. That's a good point. I mean, there are absolutely limitations. Eventually you're gonna want to grow up to a full installation. Mm-hmm. So you can run the full app and then at some point you're gonna hit the limitations and you're gonna make a decision to either do things a different way so that you can keep working with the player, or eventually to be to go ahead and install the full SDKs. Let me just give a quick example. We support all 100, Xamarin supports 100% of the native APIs. So anything you can do in Objective-C or Swift, you can do in C# with Xamarin, mm-hmm. or if you can do it in Java, we have those APIs in C#. So if you're using native storyboards on iOS or native Android layout, you're not going to have any of the editors for that. We make some attempts to read those files, but they don't necessarily, it's not the focus because you're not going to have the editors if you didn't do a full installation. So you're probably better off just getting a full installation for that kind of stuff. Like I said, you can bend the way you work though. Xamarin Forms has XAML, And so if you do a Xamarin Forms project, you can do all your layout in XAML.
Yeah.
And in fact, if you wanted to do a native app, but you don't have a storyboard editor, but you want to use all the native iOS controls, and Xamarin Forms doesn't have enough controls in its toolkit, well, Xamarin Forms lets you, you know, you can just say iOS colon, you know, whatever,
and
whatever.
Bring control. The native one in.
Right, yeah. So you could do, you could have a, you know, you could use, and you can use Xamarin Forms, XAML layout in any app, and so you could just have a XAML file with pure, just, you know, all pure native constructs underneath that. So that would be an example of bending your app to meet, you know, to meet the player. But again, at some point, you're going to want, you know, more of that functionality.
Well, I think the reason is worth calling out is whenever I talk to somebody who starts to think about using Xamarin or now, you know, Visual Studio for Mac, or sorry, for, they want to start doing basically like XAML forms, mm-hmm. and they want to make like an iOS app. Step mm-hmm. one, buy a Mac.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
You know, and they're like, what kind of Mac should I get? And I think I think they just give up at some point.
Right. No, I mean, I think a lot of people have. You know, if you're at a company that might be, you know, small to medium size, but you have a small developer team, you got 10 projects you could be doing, and you got to make a decision what you're going to do next. And you work with your manager and you're like, well, we got the mobile thing. We'd like to do the mobile thing, but I don't have a Mac. Maybe we'll do that later. So, you know, giving you the opportunity to figure out, it's like, oh, no, you act right. We could do a successful iOS project. So, yeah, that's, you know, I could spend a week with a player. You know, and get a lot of an app built and be like, yeah, okay, now I get it. Now I can, you know, I can install a bit more.
That's why I think there's two main aspects of that. The fact that I can get started quickly and then watching the changes essentially in real time. Like both, like if you had only done one of those, I think that would be kind of earth shattering.
Yeah.
But the fact that you have both is just huge. I mean, when I install Visual Studio now, like I'm going to pick that option because I'm going to be sitting there one night and want to feel like doing it. And that's going to be amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we wanted.
Yeah.
So, we covered a lot of big announcements. I think we covered all the big keynote and GA announcements. Is there anything that we left out?
Yes. Oh. Yeah, no, I mean, this has been a big one. I mean, a lot of teams, you know, focus around build. You never know how big your feature is going to land.
Yep.
I don't have a list in front of me. I feel like we almost mentioned something that I knew was going to be interesting. Oh, Unity, that's the big one.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
So, and that's so the Unity, the Visual Studio Tools for Unity team added Unity support for Mac. And Unity, you know, if you get Unity today and you're doing Unity development on Windows and you're writing code, you're doing that in Visual Studio. That's like the default experience is Unity in Visual Studio. And we didn't have the equivalent on the Mac. And Unity has a fair number of, you know, I mean, game developers, you know, a lot of, especially indies, they have Macs. So you know, the Visual Studio Tools, you know, JB and his team took an active interest in making sure that we could have an equivalent story in Visual Studio for Mac, and he delivered the whole thing. So everything you can do in Visual Studio Tools for Unity, you have that same functionality on the Mac.
That's huge, because that's, I believe, the number one way that games are powered is by Unity.
Yeah, so if you're, I don't know how much of your audience is game development, but if they're not, you know, you want to know that, number one, Unity is an incredibly popular workload in Visual Studio, because Unity is the top, you know, the top game engine out there. And what's great about that for all of us as Visual Studio developers is that is C#, right?
Yeah.
Tons of people are using C# to do not just game development, but really anything in VR, AR, mixed reality. So C# is the number one language for VR, MR, AR.
Oh, that's such a great point.
Yeah. So that's what we definitely want to encourage that. And to me, it's a very exciting space, because, I mean, I have an Oculus and I enjoy doing VR. Never going to be a VR developer. I mean, I'm not a game developer, and the amount of work that it must take to develop an entire 3D world. But when you look at AR, like, that's real, that's happening. And as app developers, we're probably all going to have to do some AR, because it's so useful to business.
Yeah.
And it's actually very approachable, because, yeah, you're bringing in a little bit more of the of you know, recognizing the world around you with having coordinates out there that you map against. But then a lot of what you're doing is just displaying data. You're projecting 2D. It's an app.
That's such a good point, because actually, when you think about it, like, any app on your computer is already AR when you think about it.
Right.
I mean, I guess it is in reality, so you're not augmenting it, but you're augmenting.
Yeah, but it's become incredibly common. It's become incredibly common in phones, because phones know so much about where you're at, and then they can give you location-aware information.
Yeah.
And some of them will do camera overlays, and that's what becomes the AR. I think, you know, I don't think any of us should be, as developers, afraid of whether or not we're going to be able to jump in and do AR. Yeah. So having the C# skills and knowing that that's very accessible to us, that's been a focus of our team. So we have more 3D libraries like Urho Sharp, But obviously making, you know, Unity available for everybody in Visual Studio, I think that's a big part of what makes it exciting to be a C# developer now.
Okay. Yeah, that wasn't even part of the big keynote announcements, right?
No.
No, it was a big part of our, you know, we had JB on for our Visual Studio session, so you should go check out the Visual Studio session.
Very cool.
Miguel and I did on Channel 9. As I mentioned, it doesn't show off all the preview stuff I talked about, but go download the previews, and now you listen to this podcast, okay. you know everything you should check out.
Okay. Anything else?
No, I think...
Unity was the big one that was that was missed. Yeah. Okay. So, you
know, I just say I'm really excited because, I mean, see how much it's grown so quickly to come really on par with the Visual Studio that most people are familiar with on Windows. I mean, it really is an exciting time to be a developer.
Yeah.
And it just removes a lot of friction. I mean, it's getting easier to do things the way that you want.
Right. You know, I guess just to kind of a closing thought on that, yeah. The friction, it is a friction point if you're saying, okay, what... You know, I'm building up a team and I'm deciding what tools I'm going to use. And you've got people that you know and love Visual Studio, but cross-platform is a reality. Mm-hmm. And to imply that was off limits to C# developers and Visual Studio developers kind of forces a decision people never necessarily need to make. So just making sure that the VS for Mac option is out there so nobody ever says at a point where they have to make a decision about what platform they're going to use, say, I don't know, well, maybe Microsoft's not going to have the tools I need where I need to be.
Yeah.
And we need everybody to know that Microsoft's going to meet them where they are. We're going to give them the tools they need to do whatever they need to do. And they're going to be powerful, great tools.
And then I know you mentioned a couple of roadmap items. I don't know if there's anything else that you want to share. Forward-looking?
Well, like I said, I think Razor was the big one.
Oh, yeah.
ASP.NET Core 2.0. So if you install Visual Studio for Mac today, we're going to give you 1.1 because that's the stable thing that's out there. Mm-hmm. But you can get 2.0 working with the Visual Studio for Mac previews. We have some docs on what you're going to want to change configuration-wise there to support that. And then, of course, once .NET Core 2.0 comes out, that's probably the next big milestone we'll be looking to,
okay.
To land some more features. But I mean, yeah, it's exciting times. There's lots mm-hmm. to pull over. We want to hear what developers want to see in there because we want to definitely prioritize that.
Very cool. Anything else, Carl?
One thing that just popped in my head when you talked about what people are expecting. So Visual Studio for Windows has a vast extension piece to it.
Yes.
You know, does Xamarin for Mac have any plans to integrate those same or similar extensions?
Part of our fact finding with the Visual Studio team was very interesting to see, you know, how not just how extensible Visual Studio is, because people know yep. that people develop extensions there, but Visual Studio itself is very cleanly architected. And at the same time, Visual Studio for Mac, or what was Xamarin Studio, also was built with extensions in mind from the beginning. Almost anything you do inside of Visual Studio mm-hmm. for Mac is actually an extension, and you can go in and in the Visual Studio menu, yeah. you can check out what extensions are installed and turn features off and on because it's all extensions. In the pre-Visual Studio for Mac days, we as Xamarin, we never had a focus on trying to build an ecosystem. We didn't yep. necessarily want the IDE to be a platform for other people to try to put functionality in. But obviously, as Visual Studio for Mac, we're very interested in that. So it's very extensible. We have great docs online at a URL that I can't remember off the top of my head. if your audience is interested in developing extensions for Visual Studio for Mac, it's pretty straightforward, very extensible, and we encourage people to do that because Visual Studio is a big part of the power of Visual Studio are the productivity features that third parties bring in, and can do that in VS for Mac.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for coming on here and talking about Visual Studio for Mac, along with all the other great stuff around that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.